From Hollywood, it's time now for Bob Bailey as...
Sonny Dollar.
This is Jules Martin.
Lieutenant Martin?
Yeah, that's right. I got a message you called while I was out and left this number.
Yeah. I want to talk to you about the McCormick case, Lieutenant.
McCormick?
$100,000 burglary out on Long Island back in 1951.
I was the officer in charge. Who are you?
Insurance investigator. I got a tip that an ex-convict named Joe Panny might have pulled it. I'm at Panny's hotel.
Well, let me know how you make out.
Say, listen, his room's been torn apart. Every inch of it's been searched. And when I came here tonight, I got socked by a woman with a gun.
Give me that address.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Allied Casualty and Insurance Company Limited, Markham Building, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the McCormick matter. Expense account, item 7, $2, two drinks. For myself and Lieutenant Jules Martin, NYPD. A big swarthy man who seemed to know what he was about. Martin looked over the damage done by the unknown ransacker of Joe Panny's room, questioned the clerk who was unable to furnish any helpful information, then, because Joe Panny was officially a parole violator, ordered a general pickup.
They should be able to get our hands on him pretty soon, Dollar.
I hope it's that easy, Lieutenant.
Any reason why it shouldn't be fairly routine?
No, just a feeling, I guess. I don't know. This whole matter has been flimsy. The tip was weak, but it seems to be paying off. Nothing fits, though.
I don't quite get all this, Dollar. How'd you come in on this?
Old Mike Cairn died up at Sing Sing 2 days ago. Before he went, he told me he believed Joe Panny might have pulled a McCormick burglary. It didn't seem likely then, Panny being a small-time auto thief and whatnot. But now it does, in view of what's been happening lately.
Somebody sure wants something Panny might have, judging from that room.
I never saw one taken apart better. An expert search term.
Yeah.
Hey, Lieutenant... When you pick, he's my only lead in this case, and I want to talk to him again.
That's not asking too much. Now, Dollar, about this woman you saw.
Pretty, about 30, dark hair, good dresser, and wore a silver mink stole. The gun she socked me with was a little one, a 25 or maybe 32 automatic.
Mm-hmm. You think she might have done the searching in Joe's room?
What do you think? She was flustered and upset when I bumped into her, anxious to get away from the place. And, of course, the gun in her hand.
Yeah.
She sound familiar to you in this neighborhood?
No, no. Could be anybody.
No. Well, that's about it, Lieutenant.
Yeah?
No, I got it.
Oh, thanks. I suppose you talked to McCormick, got the full story of the burglary from him?
Almost first thing, yeah.
Well, I remember him when it first happened. Nice enough, but strange, I thought. This business about somebody phoning the parole office ahead of you to get Joe Panny's address that stops me, though.
It's hard to figure.
You sure you're telling me everything?
Sure, I'm sure.
That part sounds crazy.
Not if somebody knew I was looking for him, wanted to get him first.
But who?
I shouldn't.
Well, we'll see what we will see. Can I drop you anywhere?
No, thanks. I'll walk. You let me know when you pick him up.
Sure.
Two days passed, and I didn't hear from Lieutenant Martin. I finally phoned in, and a supplementary had turned up no leads. Martin had men watching Joe's hotel. His former friends and acquaintances were being checked. Meanwhile, I decided to try and find out who the dark woman in the first stole had been. It seemed pretty obvious that she had just come from Joe's room, that she knew him or was connected with him in some way. So once more, I combed over Joe Panny's file at headquarters, this time looking for a woman's name. The only one mentioned was an ex-wife who had divorced him 6 years before. Her name was Iris Carter. At the Bureau of Vital Statistics, the marriage certificate and record of divorce proceedings gave me a composite picture of an unhappy and turbulent 3-year marriage. It also gave me a general description of Iris Carter that could very well fit the woman I'd seen briefly in the hallway outside Joe Panny's hotel room. There was a 6-year-old address to start off.
Eunice? Is that you, Eunice? I think that's you, Eunice.
No, ma'am, I'm not Eunice.
Oh, you're ready.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Oh,
Well, what do you want?
I'd like to talk to the manager. I want some information.
What's your name?
Johnny Dollar.
What kind of information are you looking for?
Are you the manager?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, I'm trying to locate a woman named Iris Carter. She might have used the name Iris Panning. She was married once to a man named Joe Panning. Lived here about 6 years ago. Were you here then?
I was.
Did you know her?
I did.
Did you know him?
Yeah. He went to jail.
Does she live here now?
She don't.
Do you have any idea where I can find her?
I don't.
Well, do you happen to know if she ever worked
for... Why do you want her?
Just to talk to her. When did she move out?
Long time ago. 5 years, maybe.
Huh?
What's your business?
Insurance.
Oh.
What's it?
Oh, nobody around here buys insurance.
Oh, we don't have to go into that. If you can think of any place I might get a line on her, I'd appreciate it.
It seems to me she worked at a bookstore down the street.
Down what street?
Out there. Block or two down that way. I think she worked there. I don't know. You can try.
Thank you. I will.
All right. You try. You tip your hat.
So tell me, do you remember what she looked like?
Sort of. Yeah.
Well?
Oh. Not as tall as I am. Nice. Pretty girl.
Blonde or brunette?
Dark hair. Almost black.
Know any of her friends when she lived here?
No. No, I couldn't tell you that. Why?
Oh, I might look up one of them and ask her about her, that's all.
Yeah, you ask at that bookstore. I think she was there.
The bookstore Iris Carter Panning had worked in was as dismal as the neighborhood. The proprietor, a Mrs. Olds, yielded a little more helpful information than Iris Carter's former landlady. Yes, Iris had worked there for about 6 months. She quit almost 5 years before. No, she didn't know where to find her. Expense account, item 8, $1.02 lunch. I had it in a neighborhood diner called the Shovel, a place where Mrs. Olds said Iris Carter had frequently eaten. The restaurant manager remembered Iris vaguely. She also remembered Iris's boyfriend. I asked for a description. She did better than that. She gave me his name, occupation, and address. An old rehearsal hall 2 blocks away. The five-man combo working there was really putting it up. Yeah. And the minute I saw him, I knew the boy wearing the trumpet was the one I was looking for. Just good-looking and smooth enough to go with a girl Iris Carter sounded like.
Okay, guys. Take five.
I'm looking for Jack Lang.
You promise?
I'm Johnny Dollar. Can you talk a minute?
That's about all I got, Mr. Dollar.
You smoke? No, thanks.
Oh, man. It's real tired out about this time of day.
Yeah, imagine it does. The way you put it.
Well, everybody to his own racket. It's yours.
Insurance investigating.
Okay. Now what?
Well, I've been asking around the neighborhood, and they tell me you once knew a girl named Iris Carter, or Iris Panning.
Iris Carter. Cool.
I'd like to find her and talk to her, and I thought you might be able to help me.
Cool.
I want to talk to her ex-husband, most of all. I thought somehow she might know where to find him these days.
He's in the camp.
He was released 3 weeks ago.
Hmm?
Any ideas?
No.
I thought finding her might be a shortcut to him.
I wouldn't think so. They were all washed up when I knew him.
When was that?
5 years ago. She hadn't seen him for over a year then.
Huh?
She didn't have much use for him.
Oh, boy. How long did you know him?
No. We went together for a while while she worked at some crummy bookstore. Then she moved away, and I didn't see her after that. Then she said something about going back to Ohio.
You think?
I don't remember.
Well, let me put it this way. As far as I know, she's in no trouble. The one we want is her ex-husband. You'd be helping a lot if you could tell me where to find her.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I'm sure wish I did. I'd like to find her myself.
Why?
Well, when she went with me, wasn't any good. I think she just walked out because she was tired of losers. Sick up to here, you know what I mean? Can't blame her. He gave her a pretty bad time. I didn't do much better. But now I got something. It's a little five-piece outfit. Not much, but something. I'd like to show it to her and say, Iris, this is mine. You kind of had it bad, huh? That is a guy like me can get it. I know I'll probably never see her again as long as I live. But... well, if another one like her ever shows up, I'm going to be ready then. You ever see?
No, she must have been something.
Here. Take a look. Nice, huh?
Yeah. I take it back.
What the?
About seeing her. I've seen her.
When? Where?
2 nights ago in the hallway outside Joe Penny's room.
You sure?
I'm sure. She hit me with a gun before she left. The picture he had put out of his wallet was old and well thumbed. It showed a sultry kind of face that could have been 20 or 30 or 40. A wide, frank, smiling, happy mouth. Not the kind of girl I would imagine could ever be married to a Joe Penny. But there was no doubt about it. She had been married to him, and I had seen her. On my way back to the hotel, I dropped in to check with Lieutenant Martin.
Hi.
Hi. Doing any good? Any lead on Joe Penny?
Nothing so far. This may take longer than I thought at first.
Well, I've been out looking for his ex-wife. I didn't find her, but I found a few people who knew her. She was the one at his hotel the other night. The name's Iris Carter.
You sure?
Positive. I saw her picture.
We better try to pick her up, too. I'll put it out right away.
Fine. Well, I'll keep in touch.
Wait a minute. Don't go.
Huh?
We had some action here today. Sit down.
Thanks.
Julian McCormick called up, reported you. He said you came out there bothering him a couple days ago. He said he doesn't want to be bothered.
Well, I only talked to him to get his story on the burglary.
And I told him as long as you didn't break the law, there was nothing we could do to stop you from investigating. But he didn't like it.
He seemed perfectly willing to cooperate with me when I talked to him before.
Yeah, well, sometimes he's rich. Excuse me. Martin here. That's right. How long ago? Okay. Well, they found your boy, Joe Penny.
What?
Yeah. He's on his way to the morgue. Harbor Patrol picked up his body a couple of hours ago, loaded down with slugs.
Some case.
And that ain't all, Johnny.
Huh?
His feet were burnt.
Now, here is our star, Bob Bailey, to tell you about tomorrow's episode.
Thanks. Tomorrow, a phase of this case that ought to be called The Talking Corpse. Well, believe me, this one said plenty. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dalton.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.